What are the major differences and similarities between CalPERS and CalSTRS? So, commonly mixed up are CalPERS with a P for public employees and CalSTRS with a T for your teachers in the state of California. Now, both of these retirement systems provide annual reports that do not, I repeat, do not reflect actual value. So if you look at an account statement from CalPERS and it says $100,000 on that account statement, that is not the value of that account. Same thing with CalSTRS. Why? Because that only reflects the deductions that have been taken out of the paychecks for the employee. Those reports do not reflect any matching from the employer. And so, you know, if you just use that value, the multiple of what it's actually worth is 4 to 5 times that value, sometimes even 6, 7, 8, or 10 times the value, particularly with safety members, with police officers and firemen, there's a much greater value. So with a similarity between CalPERS and CalSTRS is they do provide annual reports that will have dollar amount sort of numbers on them that have nothing to do with the actual value of the account. So you got to be careful not to use that. One of the differences is while they both have benefit estimate forms you can fill out to determine what the employee and the non-employee spouse are going to receive, CalSTRS for teachers will allow you to do that form before the quadro is entered. CalPERS with a P for public employees will not process that form until after the quadro is processed. Okay, both of them are DROs, by the way, but I use the term quadro just for ease of conversation. Speaking of that form, in terms of CalSTRS of teachers, that form to be processed has to be submitted by the account holder, the teacher, or it can be submitted by the non-account holder if a joinder has been completed, and then CalSTRS will respond, give you that information. CalSTRS, with a T for teachers, will allow survivor benefit options to be modified upon a life event, and a life event is a divorce, okay? CalPERS with a P will not allow you to adjust survivor benefits. So if there's an option 2, 2W, 3, 3W, etc., option 1 for CalPERS, they don't let you modify that. You're stuck with it unless you award 100% of the CalPERS account to the account holder. And then they will let you remove the beneficiary that you have on file. CalSTRS, in contrast, will allow upon divorce, you can change the survivor benefit option. Now, the tricky part about changing the survivor benefit option with CalSTRS is if you're going to select something else, they reevaluate the costs of that survivor benefit option at the time you change the option. Okay, and you're always going to be older later in life than earlier in life, obviously. And so oftentimes the cost factor is much greater when you modify it. And it may not make financial sense to modify it based on the increased cost. The earliest retirement age for CalPERS, both parties must be at least 50 years old, okay? You got to be at least that before you can, under an account segregation, a non-employee spouse can start drawing off of the CalPERS account. And we're going to talk about shared and account segregation in a second in this segment. This is going to be a longer segment. The earliest age under CalSTRS for teacher, however, the non-employee spouse must be age 55. Okay, so there's a little bit of an age difference between those.
As in terms of putting notice of adverse interest and holds on the account, CalSTRS will not place a hold on the account for a member who is already retired. So if a teacher who's already collecting monthly checks gets divorced, CalSTRS just keeps paying them their full check. CalPERS, however, if you do a notice of adverse interest or a joinder, they will start withholding 50% of those checks, which then they'll distribute later on after they receive the quadro, at the direction of the quadro. So they'll hold half of the retirement checks with CalPERS. They will not with CalSTRS. They both have companion plans. Okay, that's a similarity. So if you have somebody who's CalPERS, they probably all also have a 457B deferred compensation account. If you have a CalSTRS, a teacher, they probably have a defined benefit supplement account, a cash balance plan, and a 403B account. Okay. Now, let's talk about the differences between shared interest and account segregation. So under a shared interest approach, and this is CalPERS Model Order B in their community property booklet, a shared interest account. Under a shared interest account, the parties are sharing one CalPERS account or one CalSTRS account. Now, the upside to doing a shared interest account is the former spouse can piggyback on the promotions and the pay raises of the account holder. So the example, you know, what I tell the clients is, you know, if you're married 20 years and they were, working in the CalPERS system for all 20 years, another way to think of it is you have 10 years of service credit. If your 10 years of service credit are inside the same shared account with your ex-spouse, when your ex-spouse gets a promotion or a pay raise, the entire account promotes and pay raises. So your 10 years promote and pay raise, and your ex's 10 years promote and pay raise of the community property. And then if your ex is continuing to work there, maybe additional years, or there will be additional years in there that promote and pay raise as well. So the upside to a shared interest approach is that, from a former spouse's perspective, is that when the account holder promotes and pay raise, the non-account holder also promotes and pay raises. Their share enhances in the pension. The downside to the shared interest approach is that because there's one account, the entire account has to, quote unquote, retire at the same time. So the former spouse cannot collect directly from CalPERS or directly from CalSTRS under a shared interest approach unless and until the account holder retires and commences their benefits. Okay. The account segregation method, and this is Model Order A in the CalPERS Community Property Booklet, sometimes referred to Model Order A, it's a complete opposite of the advantages and disadvantages. So the advantage to an account segregation approach, and you can remember it by segregate, they segregate the account from one into two, is total separation between the spouses. So as soon as both spouses are 50 years old under a CalPERS or 55 years old for the former spouse under a CalSTRS, the former spouse can then begin to draw benefits off of the CalPERS or CalSTRS account on a monthly basis, even if the member, the CalPERS member or the CalSTRS member, is still working. Okay, that's the upside to an account segregation. The downside to an account segregation is those service credits that are earmarked for the former spouse are valued at the pay scale of the account holder at the date of divorce. Okay, so you're missing out on all those enhancements due to the fact that you've separated the account from one into two. All right, you're probably wondering, well, who gets to pick? All right, well, the person who gets to pick under Family Code 2610A3 is the non-account holder. Okay, so the account holder, the CalPERS member or the teacher under a CalSTRS system, does not get to vote or have any say in whether it should be shared interest or account segregation. It's the non-account holder, former spouse, that gets to pick between the two. All right, now, sometimes I have clients ask me, well, what about the lump sum option?
The lump sum option is not, it's sort of the, well, if you want to throw your money in a bonfire option, sure, you can do that, but it's a terrible idea option, okay? So CalPERS has what they call the CalPERS buck on their website. You can look it up. Go ahead and Google it. And you can see that the employee contributions are about 13 cents on the dollar. So if you would like to cash out 13 cents on the dollar from your CalPERS account, throw the rest in a bonfire, that's the lump sum option. Okay, so you don't really want to consider that, whether you're the employee or the non-employee spouse, the lump sum cash out option, which is really just a waste your money option, unless there's something like you have some sort of disease where if you're not going to live 6 months, well, okay, fair enough, spend it on medical bills for the next 6 months, or you know, if it's life saving, or buy that brand new Tesla and drive it around the block for a couple months before you kick the bucket. But absent a circumstance like that, where you imminent risk of death, like very soon, it makes almost zero sense to do the lump sum cash out option. Okay, so that is some of the similarities and differences in CalSTRS and CalPERS, and shared and segregated.